Happy Monday morning.
Monday.
You're joining us at the Sprinkles of Sped podcast with the TBL SEC coaches. I'm Allison Bremley.
Caitlin Lee.
Ann Gleason.
And we are here today with the fabulous Erin Adams. Give us your 30-second bio.
Well, this is my second year working in Baser Linwood School District in the cooperative. I support Linwood Elementary School, Baser Linwood Middle School, and Baser Linwood High School, basically all the schools that have a social emotional resource room. And I'm loving it. I love being here. I came from Shawnee Mission School District. Before that, I worked in early intervention in an autism clinic. So I've got a little bit of background on everything, but I am a board certified behavior analyst. I went to undergrad and grad school for applied behavior analysis with a minor in psychology, and I have been working with kids with autism, kids with behavior disorders, all sorts of things for the last 10 years.
So I should be worried about you silently judging my
Analyzing your
behavior.
computer. You know, I get that question a lot. I have people ask me, like, what is wrong with my husband? No, I keep it to myself unless I am
Think I could
invited.
get my husband up here?
Call him now. Maybe we'll get your butt down with us.
For a number of years, behavior was kind of this big elephant in the room,
Yeah.
and how do we support our kids? And when it was just Allison and I as coaches, and maybe Allison just when you were a coach too, it was like there was so much to do. We knew how important behavior was, but to get to it and do a thorough, good job working with our case managers was hard. And so I was so excited because you were hired 2 years ago. Jill
Yeah.
Kortner was hired, Marlene Rose was hired. That freed up Bo to also go around and do lots of different things. She was trying to be all things to all buildings. And
Yes.
so I know teachers, case managers have said to me personally, and maybe to Allison and Caitlin too, how grateful they are for our behavior team.
That's so good to hear.
I'm excited about this conversation so that we can talk more about
Thank
behaviors.
you.
But before we get there, Erin, you
Yes.
have to pick a question
I
from
get
the
to choose
jar.
it. Yep.
You get to choose the
Yep.
question. I promise these are
Okay.
not too hard. We make everybody their icebreaker.
You have so many. The double. Here we go.
It might be folded double over.
There you go. I see. Can you impersonate any famous person or character?
I'm sitting here thinking, Erin, I'm so glad that was one I did not fold. Okay, it
Oh.
Do you have any impersonation? It's okay if you don't.
You know, nothing comes to mind. Isn't
Okay.
that sad?
No, that's all right. I can't. I don't have one
I was just
either.
going to say, Allison, you picked the, or you got the questions. You
I
don't have
know.
anybody
I
that you
don't.
can impersonate.
I really don't. My personality is
No.
big enough. I don't need to share anybody else.
Should I choose another one? Do I just leave
No,
it at that?
you're good.
It was
That's
a
all
one and
right.
done.
That's
Okay,
a
so
one and
sorry,
done.
everybody.
No,
But I would
don't.
love to hear other people's impersonations.
There you go. I'm gonna put that one back in and save it for
If
somebody else.
I could impersonate any character well, I would love to impersonate Steve Carell on The Office. That would
Yeah.
be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any Steve Carell character.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
He's
He's one of my
amazing.
favorite actors of all
Yeah, he's
time.
amazing.
Yep.
Well, we have you here today to talk about behavior, but specifically about putting systems in place, some strategies we have for positive behavior. I feel like as teachers, we get really sucked into negative behaviors and dealing with negative behaviors and talking about negative behaviors, and that takes up a lot of our brain space. So I kind of want you to help us figure out how do we put the focus on strategies and systems for positive behavior.
Absolutely. I would love to help with that. At the beginning of the school year, hopefully you guys have already established some of this in your classrooms, but you get to establish how you want to respond to behavior in your classroom. And when I say respond to behavior, there are two sides of the coin there. There's the proactive stuff where you can prevent behavior, you can put in place systems to support your students so that hopefully behavior does not happen. And then there are also the responsive systems, what to do if a behavior does happen. Not all of the students who engage in big behaviors in your classroom will have outside supports, either from special education or from like via a 504, having a behavior support plan or a behavior intervention plan, which I think is a whole nother podcast in the future. You
We'll get
guys will
there.
get to that. Because of that, you might feel like you are on your own to support kids' behavior if they're not receiving other services for their behaviors.
And that is a scary
It can
feeling.
be a scary feeling, absolutely, especially when you have an entire class and maybe even multiple kids who could use a little support in the behavior department. Biggest recommendation, and I know that there are some things in the works here to support this, would be to start early. Early intervention is huge. And if we can start with our youngest grades and have some good classroom management and social emotional learning curriculum in place to support them, then hopefully, as they continue to age through the system, they maintain those skills, they sharpen the skills, they work on skills that are appropriate for their age level as they go, and are great humans. So, part of that is with our school counselors and school social workers, but more so school counselors, use a curriculum called Character Strong. And
That's here in Baser.
that's here in Baser. I don't know about Tonki. Good question.
Yeah,
I guess that wasn't a question,
that's all
but
right.
it made me
That
think
is
of
a
that
good, yeah,
question.
I will have to find out. I'm sure that they have a specific social emotional curriculum thing.
Yes,
So
I
that
know that that's one that we
have to
do
look
have
that up.
available in Baser, Linwood. So our, at least at Linwood, which is the model, the elementary school that I've gotten to see, the each classroom goes to see the counselor once a week as a class, and they use Character Strong to guide the lesson and have lots of amazing activities that focus on some social emotional skills that our kids need at each specific grade level that they go through, which is
Very cool.
wonderful. Yeah.
Very cool. Yes. So I'm hearing you say it starts with proactive learning.
Yes. Yes.
Like
Yes.
some good strategies and skills instruction.
Yes.
And so all of our kids are getting, and when I say all, I mean general education, special education, all of our students in Baser Linwood are getting this Character Strong. So everybody is kind of starting, everybody's getting the same foundation. As
Yes.
far as that kind of goes. So,
Yeah,
okay.
good point. You know, I just like math and reading and social studies, it's something that has to be taught. You know, some of our students come in having never been in another learning setting, having heard the word no. You know, we're still experiencing some effects of the pandemic. And so, you know, I'm hoping that we continue to see kids grow and have more opportunities out in the community to learn social skills as well. But really, here at school is where we can provide
It's
those.
interesting that you would bring up the pandemic because I feel like as teachers, it feels like behavior has escalated since then. But then I also wondered if it's just because we are so sensitive and worn out as teachers that we have become more reactive since then because there's just so much more pressure and it feels worse because we're reactive instead of proactive.
A good point. Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I think part of it is certainly a skill deficit for our kids who did an entire year of learning in front of a screen rather than interacting with other kids and, you know, being in those social settings. But yeah, I think we are very hypersensitive to certain behaviors that we see. Yeah.
I would agree. And I'm going to throw something out there for a discussion purpose. For years as a special education teacher, and maybe you guys have also experienced this, I've heard a lot of people, not just sped teachers, gen ed teachers, you know, administrators. People saying things like, but these kids should know how to, they should know what to do. But I think with the pandemic, it really gave us an opportunity to see what's happening in homes, what
Right.
may not be happening in homes.
Yes.
So I don't hear so much anymore. Kids should just know how to do that. I think as teachers, we saw they're truly not being
There
taught.
is a need for it. Absolutely. I agree.
And I feel like the finger now, we're not finger pointing anymore. I think we're coming together more as teachers saying they don't have this skill.
Yeah.
We're going to provide Character Strong for all of our kids in the district because it is that important that everybody get on the same page. So while the pandemic, I think, made us gave opportunities for kids to not have behaviors because they weren't socialized. It gave us an opportunity to say, we can no longer say they should just know these behaviors because they don't. And so it's an interesting change from when I have been teaching, you
Yes.
know, the years before that. So.
Yeah, I think that's an excellent point. There is kind of this assumption that, yes, they should just know better, or why should we have to reinforce behaviors that they should know in the first place, right? Why should we have to reward a student just doing what they're expected to do?
Right.
Well, just like learning a new skill in math or learning a new skill in ELA, learning a new social skill is exactly the same. We should incentivize it and encourage it to the best of our ability.
So if I'm a teacher setting up my classroom, and I'm going to be honest, I don't think September is too late to set up your classroom.
Oh, absolutely not.
Like this is, you know,
No,
we can
it's a
just,
work in progress.
it's a do-over. Like if I want to start setting up my classroom right now and it's December or it's March, I think it's okay. It's okay
Yes,
to give yourself a
any
do-over.
part of this school year. Absolutely. You can always put a new system in
You
place.
also think too that as kids grow and change, I think we need to be constantly reflecting, how am I setting up my classroom for positive behaviors? Or
Yeah.
what do I need to change as a teacher or case manager to encourage positive behaviors?
Right.
I agree 100%. I don't think September is too late to set your classroom up, but I think we need to be reflecting on that all year.
I agree.
And that
So.
brings up that any behavior supports you have in your classroom, any positive behavior supports that you put in place should be as individualized to your classroom and the students in your classroom as you possibly can. And the students that come in to our buildings in August are very different than the students who have been there all the way through January, starting second semester. So you can absolutely change your systems throughout the year. Kids are resilient. They will pick up on it. They appreciate change a lot of the time. It gives them variety, something new to look forward to, a new challenge to, a new occasion to rise to. So there's nothing wrong with that at all.
So, Erin, run with that just a little bit more. So, when we are talking about how to set up a classroom for positive behaviors, what kind of environmental things could we be looking at to provide those supports for our kids?
Absolutely. So there are things that will help prevent behaviors. There are things that will help reward behaviors. Let's start with the preventative. So this can be applicable no matter what age group of kids you have, but the actual physical arrangement of your classroom is one thing to keep in mind. If you have students that are likely to run from your classroom,
We don't have any kids like
never
that.
happens. Where you place those kids in your classroom, should they be right next to a door? Probably not. You might have students that you know, just like with academic supports, behavior supports too. If you have a student that you need to keep a little closer under your thumb, put them a little closer to your desk or where you stand to teach. You can also definitely think about what kids you have paired with whom. I know that that's hard to discern right from the beginning of school because you don't always know the students who are coming to your class. But after the first couple of weeks, I think teachers can all get a very good idea of who's going to work well together,
Right.
what personalities don't match. And so if you have a student who struggles with group work, for example, just be very strategic about what students you place that kiddo near. Some students do a lot better if they have their own desk that is not in a pod of other students. And you can work toward reintegrating them into a pod of students eventually. One thing that I adore that has happened at Linwood, and not sure if this is around the whole cooperative or not, but all of our teachers at Linwood Elementary now have a comm corner or similar, they all call it a different thing, but a place in their classroom that a student can go to self-regulate or just take a break for a moment, get some movement in if that is what they need, or some sensory input that they can use independently. They
I
don't
love
have to
that.
leave the classroom for it. They can still access academic content that you're teaching. They can just go to that calm area and get recharged with whatever they need to help regulate their behavior and then rejoin the class when they feel ready.
That's very cool.
So I think that's an awesome arrangement that you can do in your classroom as well.
Both of my daughters are girls who are like, it doesn't matter who you set me by, I'm gonna talk to
Y'all are social people.
them. That Brumley family, they don't know a stranger. That's awesome.
Strangers might not want
But that's a
to
great life
know
skill that you your girls have to be able to, get along with anybody, and
Yeah, I
that's
think that there are
amazing.
many kids like that,
I
and
do, yeah.
that, encouraging that kind of social interaction when it's the right time and in the right way.
To establish the times in your classroom when those things are appropriate is very big. So set up a routine right from the beginning where maybe if, they work for the first half an hour of a block schedule. We don't really have block schedules, but anyway, like in middle school when you have shorter class periods, work for the first bit and then maybe have some free time at the end that kids can socialize. Or even within a larger lesson, if you have an hour worth of ELA in the morning, plan some breaks in between so that they can get some movement in and maybe some socialization. That's a good way to establish this is the time to use your voice to talk to your peers. And otherwise, let's focus on the instruction.
So something I know that Tonganoxie Middle School has done is in order to encourage that positive socialization is they have gone to phones are away for the day, like no personal devices, and they've really locked down the school devices because they want to encourage that your interaction, like no phones at lunch, no phones during class. They don't, kids don't have an option to put headphones in to like withdraw socially. They're really trying hard to encourage positive
That's really
socialization.
interesting.
I'm excited. This is their first year, so I've heard complaining for my child, but I really like the idea of encouraging that positive socialization as a because I think a lot of our kids like to withdraw into that. And I think even at elementary school, we see that kids who would rather
Absolutely.
have a device instead of interacting positively. And I think that that does kind of stunt our growth
It
if,
does.
you know.
But I love the idea though of not having the phones and locking down some of that stuff to increase social skills. But I also want to circle back to the idea of like a calm corner or a quiet area in the classroom. Because for me, my personality, while most people think I'm an extrovert, I am not by nature. I'm an introvert. And so, like by the end of my day, when I'm done and I'm driving home, and I'm home, I'm done. Like, I don't want to talk to people. I don't call me. You could
Touched out,
text me.
talked
But,
out.
and so I think too, we need to also kind of consider those kiddos who, yep, let's socialize them, but they've got to have that quiet place to go to take a break and to just kind
Overstimulation
of.
is a real thing. When that comes to when it comes to arranging your classroom setting, I've seen some amazing classrooms that play like calm music in the background as they're doing their quiet work, having either a scent-free classroom or having like some goods, like some people have those diffusers
Yeah,
and I
just
don't know.
something that's kind of like some lavender or
Yeah,
something.
something that's kind of soothing, establishing some, even just like having access to noise canceling headphones for some kids is really, really helpful, not only for focus, but also to help decrease the amount of stimulation that they have. And some teachers turn out their overhead lights and just use lamps or use sunlight coming in through windows. And depending on the set of students that you have, all those things can be really helpful to prevent that overstimulation that might bubble throughout the day. A lot of teachers, when I go to consult with them about what's going on in their classroom, they say morning is pretty good, but afternoon, really start to see kids struggling with focus, talking a lot to each other. And that helps me think that either we have so much stimulation throughout the day, but by the afternoon we're just cooked, we're spent, need some time away from all the excess stimulation. Or that they have not received something that would support them throughout the morning in order to tolerate making it all the way to the afternoon. It's kind of a stamina thing that some of our kids go through. So it is fairly common to see behaviors increase throughout the day, especially in the afternoon, but especially for our little ones, think of how long of a day that is.
They're tired.
They're tired. I'm tired, So we can empathize with that and make sure we have supports in place so that it doesn't become overwhelming.
Erin, talk to us a little bit about visuals.
Thank you for bringing that. I love talking about visuals.
So help us, how do visuals help decrease anxiety, decrease behavior, some of that kind of, and what are some visuals that as classroom teachers, case managers, that we should consider having in our own classrooms?
Absolutely. So visuals come in all shapes and sizes, forms. And really, the point of using visuals is to reinforce expectations in the classroom, provide reminders of strategies that can be used to help kids predict what is going to happen, and to always have something to refer back to so that they have supports if needed that they can access independently without needing a whole lot of extra intervention from a teacher or extra chatter with their neighbors. So some visuals that I like to recommend are first and foremost a classroom schedule. And if it's a visual schedule with actual pictures of the activities that you're about to do, for our littler ones especially, that is super helpful. And so they always know what to expect, what's coming up next. That also helps with that stamina piece so they can predict what's coming up. And they know I am sitting through an hour-long math session, but right after that is recess. And that is something to look forward to. So that's something that they can glance up at the board to see and, know that they can push through for a little bit longer and something that they prefer is coming up. That also encourages you to plant things throughout the day that kids prefer, so that every now and then you have a little fun time built in to break up more of the long academic periods.
That's interesting that you say that. When I taught general education, I taught fifth grade. So in my mind, I'm like, well, they should know how to. I'm going back to that. I'm calling myself out. But they should know, they should be able to read the schedule on the board. They should be able to sit. But it was interesting as the years progressed, and I taught fifth grade for 10 years, how I added even visuals because there were some of my fifth graders who
You heard
couldn't
fifth
read what
grade,
I wrote on the board.
right?
And then when I would write down the whole schedule, and same thing, I'm looking at this schedule going, well, they should be able to, but their body language or their actions are telling me they can't. And so then we could tuck in other little brain breaks or whatever. And it was helpful that kids could see math is an hour long, but halfway through, Mrs. Gleason's going to give us a quick brain break, or we get to go take a water break or whatever. And so it's a huge difference, you
I
know?
think also just like for adults, one of the things I love to do is to cross something off my to-do list
Oh yeah.
with a big fat marker, right?
Feel like that's a dopamine hit right there, crossing
So
it off.
you have your schedule set up so that you can put a check mark or remove something off of the schedule as soon as it's done. That helps kids visualize how their day is going and just what proportion of the day they have left as they go, that kind of thing. Along with a visual schedule, any expectations, reminders, classroom rules, classroom expectations that you can put in visual form, that is a great thing to include in your classroom. One of the things I like to recommend at the beginning of the school year is to involve your students in coming up with the classroom expectations. And I've seen some teachers do this in a really, really cool way where kids can go around and write on posters the things that they want, they expect for themselves, for their teacher, for guests who enter the classroom. So, how to treat each other, how to treat teacher, how teacher should treat them, that kind of thing. Come up with a list of all of those expectations and then kind of vote or decide together on which of those they really want to stand by and kind of come up with a classroom manifesto if you want to. But then that can be placed somewhere in your classroom as a visual, break down each skill with, expectation or examples of how to meet that expectation, that kind of thing. We were talking about that calm corner. It's really great to have visuals there of different breathing exercises or other calming strategies that kids might utilize while they're in the calm corner, the different resources they have available to them with like sensory items, if you have those in your calm corner, or even some of our schools now are incorporating BIST into, and so we have safe seats or buddy rooms across the school, and there can be visuals at those different stations too, so that kids can see exactly what expectations need to be met before moving to the next step.
So it's kind of like if there's a building PBIS.
Yeah.
Yeah, just
Yeah.
reinforcing that.
Absolutely. Yes. That's a good thing that you brought up, the building PBIS, which I don't, I'm hopeful that all of our buildings have
Something.
a system. All the ones that I work in do. And so, like, I'll use Linwood for an example because I love using Linwood for example. We're the Bulldogs. So we have Bulldog tickets and they get little paw tickets individually for meeting expectations throughout the day. They also have a class-wide one. It's a bigger that has an actual bulldog on it that the entire class can earn if they have met expectations in the hallway, at assemblies, during drills, during specials, that kind of thing. And so the class with the most paw tickets at the end of the week earns something special. Kids' names are drawn at the end of the week. If they have lots of paw tickets in the pot, they have a higher chance of having their name drawn for a little prize at the end of the week. And I know teachers that supplement that with other little drawings throughout the week as well. So I think it's a really great way to reward entire classes for seeing that like community behavior that we want to see in the entire classroom, as well as at an individual level, supporting students by, providing a little paw ticket. It's easy to do. You just keep a whole bunch in your pocket and set one on their desk as you're walking by and you notice them working hard on something. It takes relatively little effort, and it's something that the kids really look forward to.
I like it's something that you can do without talking because
Absolutely. Yes.
one of
Yes.
the things I've noticed in many years of teaching is my kids who struggle with behavior are also the ones that get escalated when I talk to them, when I
Yeah.
redirect them, when I have to have a conversation or ask them to do something. Going back to like visuals, using that to reduce the
Yeah.
amount of talking I'm doing or having something positive that doesn't require talking. I don't know why some kids are so triggered, and maybe it's just me.
It's not,
My voice is triggering to
yeah.
students.
No, I think that's a very valid point. And then when our kids start to get escalated, of course, they shift from their logical, sequential part of their brain to that emotional side. And then, yeah, it's not just you, Allison. I have escalated kids just by talking to them too.
Oh, I actually have.
This brings up a very good point, which is that we all individually have our ways of wanting to receive corrective feedback and wanting to receive positive feedback. Some kids, if you call them out in front of the entire class for doing something amazing, they shrink and they don't want that type of attention. They might not engage in that positive behavior again so that they're not called out in the future. So it really helps to know your class and know your students individually to know Jessica over here is doing a fantastic job, but if I give her public praise, she won't like it. She will withdraw. So instead, maybe just setting a paw ticket on her desk is the way to go for her.
I had never
Something
thought
that's more
about it in the
quiet.
positive realm. I'd
Yeah.
always thought about it in like the like a negative
Yeah. It
reactionary,
goes
but I
both ways. We also have kids who love the attention and want to be called out in front of the entire class. And so you can amp that up as well and have the other kids in your class help celebrate that student's individual achievements to give them that dose of attention that they're looking for.
I love that.
So to piggyback off of all of that,
Yeah.
what about the kids that are doing what they're supposed to be doing?
You should. Do you get paid for your job when you're doing what you're supposed to be doing?
I hope so.
They
Yeah.
should.
You guys get paid? I'm just here
Yep.
for fun.
Yep. That is the question that I get most often is, why do all that and provide so much for the kids that are just supposed to be doing it? But remember that all skills are a work in progress, just like we want to encourage kids learning math skills and English skills, all that stuff. We also have to encourage learning social skills.
It
And
makes me, sorry.
yeah, go ahead,
I can
please.
say it just makes me think of your kids that academically need the pushing, like
Yes.
they're at grade level or they might be a little bit above it. Like, what are you doing to help those kids too?
Yeah, we
Yeah.
celebrate achievements at any level, even if it's really small progress in the bigger picture, it's still progress.
What do you think about token economies? I'm going to be real honest. I love a token economy. If you're anti-token economy, I don't think we can be friends.
We can absolutely be friends.
I just think it's so good.
So they come in so many different forms. And a big point about token economies is that it is a visual. Usually there's a visual component associated with it. And so it helps students visually track progress toward a larger goal. So, you incentivize by identifying whatever reward will work for an individual student or even an entire class. If you're using a token economy on a larger scale, there can be multiple options. And actually, I recommend having multiple options for what larger reward they could earn at the end if they've incrementally made progress up to that. In order to get buy-in for that, you can help the student identify some of their own reward options. to access at the end of a token economy. So that way, you know that the things that they're earning are actually worthwhile to them. They're motivated to receive them. But like I said, they can come in lots of forms. You can have actual tokens that a kid Velcros to a little visual that sits right at their desk. And for every half an hour that they go without blurting out, they receive a token, or for every assignment that they complete. So you identify whatever the target is for them and provide those tokens. It can be penny charts, it can be stickers, it can be on a whole class level. I've seen teachers that have like a warm fuzzy jar and they get a little puffball put in the jar for every positive thing the class does. And once that jar is full, then they receive a whole class party that they've decided on together, something like that. So it can be used at a much larger scale. You can, like I've seen those little thermometer visuals and have steps that you fill in, you color in red until it hits the very top of the thermometer. And once it does, you do something as a class or for an individual student.
I think that's awesome. I think one of the things that when I've seen token economies go really well is that once they've earned it, it's theirs forever. And I think that's so important to kids to know
It will not be taken away.
it's not going to be taken away and I still have more chances.
Yes.
Because I think that I've seen many kids who fall into that defeatist, like, oh, now I've screwed it up. Well, no, because you still get to keep the other things and you still get more chances. And I feel
Absolutely.
like that it helps keep kids from that kind of doom mindset of, oh, I've screwed up one time, so now it's
Yeah,
completely
we
done.
always work forward. We don't move backward. Yeah, I completely agree.
So, Erin, we've talked about a lot of things that we could try. And so, as classroom teachers, case managers, we're trying new things. We want to increase those positive behaviors. What in the world do we do when it doesn't work?
That's the million-dollar question.
That is the million-dollar question. So we're moving from the proactive strategies into the reactive strategies. And it's always good to have a plan in place if a behavior is to happen, even if you have this very beautiful PBIS system and a classroom reward system, things can still happen. So some kids at an individual level have identified needs in the area of behavior or social skills, and so they may have a specific system in place for them, either a behavior intervention plan or a positive behavior support plan, something like that. So if that's the case, hopefully somebody, either a case manager, a behavior coach like me, a school social worker, a school counselor is helping with that plan and has made you aware of that plan and has worked through what to do in crisis situations for a student.
Now, the student doesn't necessarily have to be a special education
Very
student to
true.
have those plans
Yes, absolutely.
because I think there's a touch of misconception with that too, where if a student has behaviors, then it's a, oh, we have to go the route of special education.
Oh,
But
yeah.
based on our conversation today, it feels like to me the first step would be what are the interventions that can be done in the general education classroom? As a
Yes.
general education teacher, what can I do to support these kinds of kids? And so,
Yeah. I mean, first and foremost, even if you are a special education student, you are a general education student first. So all students are our students. And so we can work with other related providers in the schools to support their behavior needs if that is necessary for that student. But in a lot of cases, students don't have outside support. And so, if that's the case, it is very super helpful to know the function of that kid's behavior. And I know that that's a bigger conversation that maybe will happen in another podcast eventually. But think about the motivation behind a behavior, because all behavior is communication, right? We are communicating either we need something, we have too much of something, we don't know how to use words to express that either deficit or, whatever it is that the student needs to be successful in school. So if you know the reason behind it, if it's to get out of doing work, if it is to get the teacher to stop what they're doing and come and pay attention just to the student, try to minimize that in the moment. So if the behavior has already happened, we don't want to give in with whatever it is that a student is using behavior inappropriately to get,
We don't want to feed
right?
it.
We don't want to feed it. And so if it's work avoidance, maintain the same expectation. And there are ways to do that within your classroom. You can Like if you're a school that uses BIST, you can recommend that a student move to a safe seat in order to complete something before they move on to their next expectation. Some teachers choose to have kids continue work during recess time,
Oh, not a
which is
fan.
tough. I am not a
Neither.
fan of
Yeah,
that
I'm not a
either,
fan either.
because if you think about fundamentally what all kids need, a lot of that is movement and socialization with peers. So I prefer not to take away that recess time if at all possible. But do think about, you have your classroom expectations in place and hopefully have ways to reward when behaviors that you want to see are happening. Try to incentivize that for your student. I understand that this math work is hard, but if you get through problem seven, then you can be done for the day and let's move on to the next thing. So that's a good way to get some compliance in. Or if it's like access to attention that they need, if they're like disrupting the classroom, talking out, moving around the classroom a whole lot, being like protesting vocally, whatever
That's
it
a
is.
nice way to
Vocally.
say
Vocally.
they're
If they're yelling about how stupid the assignment is and how they don't want to do it, I don't have to do that. You're not my mom, that kind of thing. Instead of giving them the attention that they're likely looking for, try ignore and move on. Just minimize it. Ignoring goes a really long way.
That's
We talk a lot
hard.
about planned ignoring. Yeah, it
It's
is.
hard. And then increasing the attention when they're doing the positive
That
things.
is, you cannot do one without the other. Thank you for bringing that up, because kids should be receiving the attention that they need in little spurts throughout the day to fill their cups, so that I am way less motivated to engage in the negative behavior in order to get that attention, because I've already received it throughout the day. I have plenty. But if something big like that happens and you can tell that they're really wanting to get a reaction from their peers or from the teacher, or, one big thing that happens often is a behavior happens in the classroom and suddenly the classroom is swarmed with people. You have a whole bunch of support staff coming in. You've got
Yes.
principal on their way, school counselor, et cetera, et cetera. And in some situations, that's necessary if safety is in question, but think about how much attention that is providing that specific behavior, and how much attention it pulls away from all the other students in the classroom. So the more we can meet a student where they're at, give any sort of prompting or feedback to them on an individual level so that it's not a big public event, we preserve their dignity, we avoid providing big ruckus
Yeah,
and
that's
a
a great
big amount
word.
of
Yeah, I
attention
love that word, ruckus.
from the entire class. Just refer back to whatever the expectation is. If you do have visuals or other supports that you can provide there that help them get through whatever self-regulation strategy they might use to de-escalate, that would be helpful. And worst case scenario, you may need to have another person in the school help you either manage your classroom while you manage behavior. I like to recommend that. That's something that not a lot of people think of. Usually the first request is he needs to leave my classroom.
I always felt like that was giving my power away.
Yeah.
Like that
That's a
was
good way to look.
make it right with me. This kid
Yeah.
doesn't have to listen to like communicate and figure things out with me because they're just going to leave to somebody else. So the next time, well, they're just going to leave to go to somebody else. So why would they put in the work with me if we don't
Right.
have that relationship?
And I understand that for practical reasons, sometimes that's not possible in the moment.
Yes.
But I always recommend that you get back to that point, that whatever, like rebuilding the relationship, any sort of like restitution type, making it right happens with the teacher again, because that's ultimately where the behavior happened,
Yeah.
right? Because yes, it's helpful to have other people in the school who can support our students and for them to have a safe relationship with that person and know that there are other people they can go to. But ultimately, we want that support to come from the teacher.
Well, Erin, I feel like we could talk behavior with you all day long.
We should. Yes. Let's
Yeah.
just do
Yeah.
that. I'll clear a day.
Right. I think we could, in all seriousness, do a month-long, 4-week session on behaviors. And I think we should. I think that's definitely something we need to talk about. But before we kind of, as we're wrapping things up, Erin, you have given us so many great ideas. And I'm hoping classroom teachers and case managers can implement these things.
However, if they need support, you had said you're at LES, the middle school, Basser Middle School, Basser High School. Can teachers contact you and say, hey, Erin, can you come in and help me talk through some behaviors? And when I say teachers, are we talking general education and special education teachers?
Absolutely,
So
we are.
you are willing to go to whoever would ask for some support and need some support and would like your help.
Well, and you have
And
and your partners in crime.
my partner's in crime. If I
Yes.
don't have jurisdiction over your building.
Yeah. Well, that's a good point because I think Jill Courtner is at Greyhawk
Yes.
and the
And
ELC.
they've kind of changed recently, so I'm sorry that I don't know everyone's
That's okay.
exact
And I
assignments.
the middle school.
Yes.
And Marlene Rose, I know, has BES
She's
and
also over in Tongji.
yes, Tonganoxie Middle and Tonganoxie High School. And she also works with our CBR
She
programs.
does.
And Bo has Glenwood Ridge and Tonganoxie Elementary School, Bo Youngblood. So pretty much everywhere you go, there is a behavior support person you can reach out
There is.
to.
And you can very much, if you don't know who that person is, that's okay. Your building administrators should know who that person is. And you are more than welcome to reach out to me or one of your other SPED coaches if you have any questions. And we can very much direct you to the right person or answer the questions ourselves.
And don't be afraid
Absolutely.
to ask for help. I think that's
Yeah.
don't be afraid to ask
Don't
because
wait till it's so bad that it's a
yeah.
crisis. Be
I
proactive.
think that it shows flexibility to be willing to have, it's a vulnerable moment to admit that there's something going on in my classroom that's a little bit bigger than my current skill level. And, that's the reason that we're here. I would love to be put out of a job, honestly.
Yeah, heck
If
yeah.
there were not behavior problems, if there was more, no more consultation to be done in schools and we had everything together, that would be great. But that's why I'm here and I'm happy to do it.
You are awesome.
Thanks.
You are awesome. Thank you so much for chatting with us today. I
You.
really am going to get you to come back and talk
I
about
love that. I
behavior plans.
feel so lucky to work in a district and with staff who support our kids' social emotional needs.
Yeah.
I think it's good that we recognize that it exists. It's not an elephant in the room anymore. We just face it head on.
Cool. All right. Well, until we talk next time, because I'm going to hold you to
Oh, yeah. And maybe
it.
I'll actually be able to answer
Are you going to
your
work on an
question.
impression?
I'll work on an impression. I'll come
Okay.
back. Steve Carell from the office.
There
Here
you
we go.
go. All right. Thank you, and see you guys later.